pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. In keeping with the divine feminine celebrations, the Navaratri happening in India and the Breast Cancer Awareness Month coinciding this October, our guest this week is Hina Saini. Hina is a versatile and effervescent leader with global expertise and a passion for creating impact through collaborative and coaching leadership. Double MBA with Operations and Project Management Specialization, she graduated in March 2022 from Cornell University in Executive Management. She brings forth over two decades of steadfast experience in IT program management, operations management, and people management. A breast cancer warrior, she was recently featured in the Times of India and Biocon Stories of Hope. She's an active contributor to the cancer awareness cause and works with multiple recognized platforms, hospitals, and support networks to make a difference in the lives of those battling this dreaded C. She had passionately led the Cancer Support Network in the India region, a CSR initiative at Cisco, to be the first one established in India in February 2020, and has amplified the awareness to over 2,500 lives. Hina is an active public speaker, a dynamic Toastmaster, and multiple award winner for both her work and her support in the cancer awareness space. Listen in as Hina shares her battle on how she's thriving in the world today as an inspiration to everyone she meets. Hi, Hina. Such a pleasure seeing you after so many years, in spite of staying in touch on and off. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much, Rashmi. First of all, thank you so much. Heart full of gratitude for choosing me. I mean, your message was totally a surprise. Suddenly, your name flashed on my screen and CEO Rashmi said that I would like to have you on my podcast for a very noble reason for which we would be talking very soon. I was like, yeah, I have to really grab this opportunity before Rashmi changes her mind. And yes, it's been always a pleasure to be in touch with you. Otherwise not, you have always been my thought because you have played a turning point part in my life. So, which I'll never forget.
Thank you, Hina. You always make me feel special. The Hina Saini the world knows today as is a role model for many things. But what I admire about you is the way you've faced life, handled the different tribulations life threw at you, and have really come out smiling each time, you know. Yeah. And October is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And for me, you're a champion. The very first time we met and you told me that you are a survivor, I've only seen you thrive then on. And the way you smile and say it is the best part. Who else but you to be here for this special episode? So first of all, thank you so much for giving time to be here with me for this conversation. But before we get there, I want to know what little Hina was like to the Hina Saini that the world knows you today as.
Okay, little Hina was like, very important thing what I usually boast about is that I was not born in hospital. I was born at home. So that is something itself, the journey God has written in stone, that your journey started on a unique note. And so as you are unique, one in million. So I make sure that people who know me well definitely know this point about me. I was born in Delhi at my granny's place. Being a native of Delhi, a core Delhite at heart. Now turned a little bit of Bangalorean, but yes, Delhi flows in the DNA. Followed by my schooling in Indore, Madhya Pradesh. Till 12th standard, I was in Indore, Madhya Pradesh. Then life had taken its turn towards Bangalore. So it's been last 24 years in Bangalore. Did my graduation and started my professional career over there. Both my MBAs happened in Bangalore, a distance education. But Bangalore has been a folding chapter in life in many ways at different set of milestones. And this is how a journey in a small capsule. But whatever has been experienced and written so far by the destiny and the universe, I think I have embraced it all. And none of it I would like to change because it has made me a person what I am today. And every experience, more than successes, I think the failures have taught me a lot and made me a better person at every point in time.
True, Hina. You know, in fact, the title of this podcast is You and I, because each one of us carries our own uniqueness and individuality.
Yes.
And that is what we are highlighting through the conversation. So what, you are always very happy and optimistic. Were you like this? Even as a little girl, always happy, looking for reasons to laugh and be part of a happy friends group?
As a school girl, I was a very naughty child. I used to be the monitor of the class because usually people make teachers pick up the students, right? Who are the most naughtiest, that just because they are the monitor, they will keep everybody in discipline. And there were occasions when things have happened in the class and I was on leave and they have pinpointed, okay, it must have been done by the brat. But no, it was not me because I was never there in the picture. So I was a naughty child, a quite naughty child. Quite as in, you cannot really make out, yeah, she has done it. Then over a period of time, as in when the cities changed, a different kind of perspective changed, your surrounding changed, eventually you become what you are, whom you are with, what you are reading or what you're watching, etc. So moving from schooling in Indore to Bangalore had a change of personality because language changed, people changed. Suddenly you are in a non-comfort zone and you're coming out of the protective shell of your parents, as in parents were there right there back at home. But they are not following you till the college and stuff like that. So those were the fears which I was trying to, you know, face and try to keep up a brave face that, yes, I have that confidence and stuff like that. But most of the time, I had that imposter syndrome that, okay, when I used to see others that, oh, you are not enough. That was predominant there for in the growing up years. I would say it in the first job also, because cracking that first job itself was a big thing. Especially when there was no pressure from the family, that you have to do job. It's like, okay, you have finished your graduation. You can be sitting at home or you make your choices. That way, thankfully, I'm blessed with the right set of parents and right family who just stand by rock solid. So I was definitely not happy-go-lucky and this cheerful always. Yes, there was a turning point in life when I started seeing life in a different way altogether. And then it's not like now I don't feel sad or I don't feel disappointed. I have my lows, but I think I have that maturity now to handle those lows in a much more better way and to handle it by myself. I really don't need a shoulder to lean on. Most of the time, I think 8 out of the 10 times, I don't need a shoulder to lean on and I can just come back towards any kind of after any kind of disappointment. So yes. But yeah, this happy-go-lucky and always cheerful, that sets the tone of positivity and high spirit always aside. You are always in that powerful position in your soul. And I always keep reminding myself that.
Wow, that's a nice statement. You're at a very powerful position with your soul.
Yeah.
That connect is very important.
And yes.
Being an optimist, I feel, is not only positive, but also seeing your challenges very differently.
Yeah.
And that is something that I have noticed with you. So, Hina, in your journey, you spoke about a turning point that came, which changed everything about you. So when did this turning point happen, and what exactly was it, and how did the whole journey happen and go on and come?
Okay, so turning point was on 1st July 2010. I think I can, as it is, I'm very good with dates, but this is one date which I will never ever forget in my life. So, and that was that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It was due to a lump which I felt in my left breast, and after taking it granted for almost 3-4 months, I went for the checkup and mammogram, followed by FNAC, followed by the removal of the lump and the biopsy. All the results were pointing towards in one direction, which I didn't realize till the final report came, or doctors were talking in their own medical terms. Or moreover, I would say I was so naive that nobody thinks like, right, you will get cancer. And back those days in 2010, the awareness about cancer was not that much. It was still looked at that horrid C. Oh, cancer means the end of the world. Your life is going to end. Nobody has thought of any. And I was so naive, Rashmi, that I didn't even knew that the treatment of cancer is chemotherapy. And because of chemotherapy, one loses their hair and you have to face yourself bald. So that level of unawareness I had about this disease, as unlike any other person, what I knew is cancer means, oh my God, you are going to die. So same level of awareness I had. And that moment became definitely a turning point, because life just turned upside down. I have to retune everything in life. And the entire focus went on that wellness journey, which I have to embark on to revive back to where I have put that comma and didn't allow to turn it to a full stop. Thanks to the people I had in my life at that moment in time, the medical team I got were the best ones. And the people who walked in that journey of 9 months of that wellness journey, who just became a temporary part of that situation, I would say, just were blessing in disguise.
When you're talking about it, I know you give a lot of talks and create a lot of awareness around this today.
Yeah.
Looking back, Hina, what was your biggest conversation with the self that helped you come out of this? Because whatever the outside world says, it's what you believe that gets reflected. So what were some of those conversations you had with yourself? Do you recall them?
Yes, of course. I think I can never forget them, Rashmi. A very good question. And irrespective of how many talks I have given or many times I have spoken about this particular episode of my life, every time I never feel that, okay, why I'm repeating the same thing? Because everybody asks in their own perspective. And that allowed me to look at the situation in a different way altogether. And not that I want to just forget that situation, because that situation taught me a lot. So, you know, it's very easy to remember your success and keep blabbering about them. But I feel the other way around, one should never forget their low days or failures, because those were the important lessons of life. So coming back to the question, what you have asked, the conversation, I would like to say 3 points to that. One, the very first thing what came, I was set to get married in 5 months. 1st July was a diagnosis and 2nd December was the wedding, which never happened. Thankfully, I would really say that. So it's like the first question what hit me was, which is normal for human being and mindset, is why me? Because I told you the kind of unawareness I had. So it's like, oh my God, my world came shattering down. A girl who was ready to just walk on the journey of any normal girl of finishing her college, was good to do in her career that moment in time. Like, I was not that ambitious at that moment. I had that typical middle class family girl, to be honest with you, that who has started working, earning this decent enough because there was no pressure from the family. So, okay, I am meeting my own needs. So I didn't have that self-respect was there, but I didn't have this kind of thing, oh, that I have to only spend on myself. I don't have to take from my parents. By God's grace, I never took the money ever from my parents after I started working. But there was never that curtain that, okay, now it's mine and stuff like that. And now I have to settle, have a family, like the normal routine of what a female wants to do after getting married, have a family, kids and stuff and go on. I was to that extent that I was ready to be a homemaker. I never had that ambition towards professional career and stuff like that. And suddenly what you see, that a boulder came in the life. So the question comes, why me? And followed by series of reopinions, because it was difficult for people to believe in the family itself, including the patient who is going through it, that how come me? There was no family history from both the maternal and paternal side. Then why me? Second question, after I could answer why me, I would not say even answer, I could just park that aside, came that enough of opinions. I think I'm ready for this treatment, the wellness journey. So stop these opinions. Let's start. At least come out of it. And I have this tendency with, I think it started then or life made me realize then that you should tell me something what you're starting, that what is the timeline for it? Even if you're injecting me something, right? Tell me how long will it pain? So that I tune my mindset that the pain will be there for 10 days. And 10 days, then I don't have to really make too much noise about it because I know I have to tolerate. Nobody else will tolerate on my behalf. But tell me that for my own tuning mindset. Or might be it's the program manager or project manager in me who works on that milestones and timelines, that please don't keep things in hanging in the air. So every time my treatment was broken in three phases, the chemo followed by surgery and radiation. And I had clearly asked my doctors that, can you tell me the rough timelines? I'm not telling you to tell me the date, but six cycles means 21 days each cycle. So it is easy to break them in milestone. You know, you can put a success story for yourself that, okay, one is over, two is over. That's somewhere you're reaching to finish it. So that was the second question to handle. The third one was the lessons out of it. Because I felt walking on that 9 months cancer journey, cancer journey is not easy for any patient going through it. They walk on eggshells or mirror, I think I would say. But post that is more traumatic. One is acceptance of your own body, how people are looking at you. There are people who don't know it, but you have your head telling you that, oh, you are not seen in the right light. So those three stages to cross was the most difficult hurdles I think I have walked on till I got that confidence that it is what it is. Now you have to, and it took a good amount of time. I think it took me 8 years. 2010 I confronted it. 2011 I have come out of the treatment exactly after 9 months, and 2019 was the first time when my story was published out. I mean, it took me good 8 years to have that courage to let people know openly that, yes, I am a breast cancer survivor. It's not that past that people didn't know, but only who knew me closely were aware that I was a breast cancer survivor. Otherwise, I never bothered to touch upon that topic purposefully. I never used as a victim card. And till date, I never do that. But 2019, I had that courage to really come up and say, because it was important for, and that was another trigger of the episode, which, like, now it's high time. People should know what a person survived through, rather than simply judging that, oh, this has become also a fashion statement that, oh, I have a cancer. There is a reason people who come out have that brave face, that they come out and say that either I'm going through it or I have gone through it. So these three stages, I think every patient go through. Why me? And then embark on that journey. And finally, the post-mortem is difficult.
That's true. Post-mortem is difficult anywhere in whatever journey you have taken and you're looking back. But when it comes to this, I like how you said that when you embarked on the journey, stage two, when you, not the first question, but the second one, you said you wanted the doctors to tell you how many minutes or how many hours the pain is going to be. What is the whole cycle like, cycle one, cycle two? But when, does that come after complete acceptance of the condition the body is going to go through this? Did the doctor sit you down and say that this is what is going to be the change that happens after cycle one? This will be cycle two and this will be cycle three. Which stage of cancer were you diagnosed?
As per doctors said, because I was a triple negative, and which is the most, the horrendous one in the breast cancer, six types of breast cancer, whatever it has. So doctor said stage four. Fortunately, it was not anywhere else in the body except for the breast and the lymph nodes on both the sides. And yes, the doctors never had a choice but to sit with me and tell me this, because I became a pseudo doctor by then. More of an unaware or a naive person I was when I was diagnosed or told this, more I started reading as soon as I got into the phase that, now look, Hina, you have got it, right? You cannot go back to where you were. So put a pause here and start looking for what you have to do to correct this situation. There was a time when I stood down and when my family wanted one more opinion. So I was like, enough. Because going through those tests of opinions is also not easy. You know, multiple doctors touching your breast and trying to figure out if it is yes or no, which most of the time is coming yes. And where it's coming no, they are giving you like all the possible manipulative statements. No, it can be weight, or this can be cured, or don't worry about it. But majority are saying yes. So boss, stop it. I mean, that's also equally painful, because when many people are touching you across, psychologically it is impacting me. For others, it is just the reopinions and the results which is coming out. But a patient go through psychologically multiple things, right? So I had to put a stop and say, let's do this. And then when I started reading every session with my doctor, when I decided the course of the journey, course as in they gave me a choice whether you want to do the surgery first, or radiation had to be last, but chemo first or surgery first and all. Then we as in me and my brother, we had the discussion with the doctors, and both of us used to go well prepared with the list of questions. And our doctors luckily appreciated it, that very few patients come with so many questions. I said, I'm very clear about the fact, it's my body. Doesn't matter whether I stay alive or perish. But even if I'm being injected a normal saline water to clear that particular passage for the next scheme of medicine, you need to tell me what is getting inside this body. And I was very clear about it. At times, I was a difficult patient, Rashmi. Some of the doctors and brothers, sisters told me this. But it's my body. So, and today you are just injecting and going, or you are just coming and telling, okay, sleep, or you're giving me sleeping injection or pills or whatsoever. Pain is something what I am enduring. I only have to pass it through till it subsides, right? So at least I have the right to know. So yes, I was ready. Doctors sat to me through all the sections, all that this will happen every 21 day cycle. And once that gets over, you get 3 to 4 weeks of healing time out of the chemo before we really take you on the surgery, because that itself is a massive phase. And acceptance, as far as you have asked me, I don't know about others. because every human being is different. It took me a time to accept my own body, how it was changing. Like after I lost my hair, I still remember that day. I was in love with my hair, and it immediately washed off. Like after second chemo, I didn't wash them for almost 10 to 15 days. And then after second chemo, the medicine effect was stronger. So after that 10, 15 days, when I washed, only scanty places it was there. And then my brother shaved it off himself. I didn't have the courage to look at myself in the mirror. Entire day, I cried. I was not able to believe that, yes, I'm bald. And the fact that it took me almost 6 weeks to see myself bald. So it was difficult. It was difficult. So acceptance for me, even after the treatment, it took me some time.
Because I have seen my aunt who went through it. And I've seen, she too had very beautiful hair. And so when the tufts of hair was coming out each time she brushed it, I noticed her. And she
said, every morning when you're getting up, your pillow is full of
it. Pillow is full of it. Yeah, that is so true.
That was traumatizing.
It is. And as family members, we don't know what to tell her, because at that point, there's no words cannot take.
Well, any kind of words is not soothing.
That is so true. The pain was visible in the eyes, and every time the smile came, it was such a difficult smile. So I remember those moments, which are very precious for me, because she was one of my favorites. So when you're talking about this journey, and you said it took you 8 years to actually accept it and come out and share it, looking back, Hina, before you got onto the journey of sharing it to the world and telling other people, what prompted you? Because now they do tell us, at least in October, it's written everywhere, as a caution to women, please check your breasts. If there are any lumps, go meet the doctor, do a mammography and check and all that. What prompted you to do that? Because many of us don't do it. So what is it that made you even check yourself up?
You mean to say for the diagnosis?
Yeah, the very first time for you to even realize you have it. Was it very apparent and that's why you decided to go in for a check? Or it was just something that you casually found and then you decided to go in?
No, it was very apparent. As I told you, I took it for granted for 3 to 4 months because my wedding was decided, right? Yeah. So I was all engrossed in arrangements and stuff like that with the family and all. And it so happened that before taking any further steps, in fact, when the diagnosis was happened, I was destined to fly for the final set of shopping and stuff like that from Bangalore. And I thought before doing that, when I told my mother about this, that this is what I'm feeling while taking shower. So she said that let's get it checked. Usually it is very common because I was just 28 years old. So she said this is normal. And I showed it to my mom's regular gynecologist. Prior to that, I never even ever saw a gynecologist also. So she also, when she just did the clinical checkup, she said, it's normal because you're just mere 28. So she also didn't injected any fear or sort of thing. And she just told me that just do a mammogram and then we'll see what is the next steps. I think that's when it happened that I did the mammogram and
the diagnosis came out.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are now in 2018 when you decided you'll come out. But what was there a particular instance? Was there somebody you met? What prompted you to come out in 2018, 2019 to share your story? Was it the awareness or the lack of it that made you decide that, no, I think I should go out and tell the story? What prompted you?
So was that in 2019, I got associated with one of the women's organization called as Corporate Diva. So the founder of that organization, she also encouraged me that why don't you come forth and share the story through and make people more aware about it. I was little hesitant because So far, 8 years went by, didn't bother to do it. People who came to know well and good. Otherwise, it's okay. I was quite numb about it. And not like trying to get anybody's attention to that chapter of my life. Things were going fine. I was flourishing in my career, seeing the regular progression. And cancer made me really ambitious towards achieving something in life, made me that girl, what you spoke about, that always happy, positive cheer, because it's a second life what I got. And now I can't take this for granted. It's not like I don't crib and cry and go sad now. Everything I do, I'm a human being. I have not changed as a human being, but I have become less towards those things and more tolerant towards how life throws the surprises across. And I'm like, okay, please come. Let's face this way also. I have become that loyalist, you know, who is ready to have that immense resilience. Every time something comes up, I soar back. So,
okay, can I take you back then to the moment when the doctors declared that you're cancer-free? A year went by, 2 years went by, you were cancer-free. What is it that you were telling yourself each time a report came, which was signal green, everything fine? What were you telling yourself each year?
See, every time before the report, Rashmi, I had this goosebumps, honestly speaking.
Yeah,
it is like as if my 10th and 12th board exams results is coming out, that God only knows what will happen. Because till 2011 is the last PET scan which happened. After that, they said that treatment is over, you're cancer-free. But you continue to do your PET scan because one is triple negative and stuff like that. So every six months.
Annual or every?
No, it was the first 3 years, it was 6 months. So till 2013, I was doing every 6 months. And every 6 months, there was like this fear. God only knows, because there was this fear which has been inserted in you that triple negative, it might come back, irrespective of the fact that you have done a mastectomy and reconstruction of your breast. So that element is out. One good part about a positive side, if you have to see of some sorts of cancer, is like where the organ is removable, at least you eliminate the fear of reoccurrence, and it adds more years to your life for sure. If you take the right care about your body and really treat it like a temple, so it at least eliminates that fear. But still, you don't know, right? So every time after a green signal of a PET scan, I used to feel that, I have won another 6 months. Not even few years, I have won another 6 months. Because next test will happen after 6 months. Then in 2013, finally, in November 2013, when I had my last PET scan, then doctor said that we have done it quite rigorously for last 3 years, 6 or 7 PET scan happen. And PET scan radiation is not that, it's not advised to go through those again, because your entire body goes through those radioactive radiation, right? Till the brain. So doctor said, now let's not encourage it more. Unless you feel otherwise. Because by that time, I was leading a very active lifestyle. In fact, for 7 months, I was not in India. I was in US. I was traveling. And I was doing all the possible things, like all the possible adventure sport I did in US. So, doctor was also convinced that, you are back to track. So, let's give it a pause. Not even a comma. Let's give it a full stop right now. Unless you feel otherwise, and everybody body signal them, right? If you feel something wrong, that now this is the time to go to doctor. So then we can think of it. And touch wood, by God's grace, I haven't felt that so far. So life is going good.
Yeah.
I do my regular medical checkups, a body checkup, which I do regularly. But yes, a need of PET scan has not yet come. And by God's grace, it is fine so far.
Great. So you spoke about corporate diva Deepika Trehan. Yes. So she
encouraged me, but I was a little hesitant. And then I happened to, but she was a persistent. She's like, if not daily, every week, twice or thrice, she used to just nudge me that think about it. It's not just for you. Forget, I'm not trying to publicize you. She was not trying to market me, but she was thinking of a larger audience because it's important for women to know to take care of their own body. We come first, right? Unfortunately, we tend to keep ourselves last. Who comes first is the family, the kids, the husband, the in-laws, the parents, but not us. But rather, it should be the other way around. If your cup is not full, how you will pour the love and affection to the others in family? So that is something also changed completely after cancer. Might be I'll come to that part later. And it so happened that I happened to attend one of the family function. And during some of the conversation, that one of the far family member said that it's a big deal if you have conquered cancer. These days it happens to celebrities also. That, I think, became a hit in my thing. Like, people think that cancer is a celebrity thing. No, it's not a celebrity thing. It doesn't ask you whether you're a celebrity or a common man, you're rich or poor, dark or fair. It just happens if your body, if it is destined to happen, I'll tell you. I have seen the fittest of people being diagnosed. I have seen the obese of people being diagnosed. I'm connected with a lot of cancer support groups. So I am always at least one or two cancer patients whom I support in a silent way by checking on them, by telling them and stuff like that, always on my WhatsApp group. So it's like, you can't just put a curtain or a thing in your mind that it's a celebrity disease. That point became like a trigger in my head that, boss, now I will become a celebrity because of this. Now, if you're thinking if it's a celebrity disease, let me publish my story. And when I came back from that event of my family, I spoke to Deepika. I said, I think I'm mentally ready. If you are, because that time the conversation with Deepika, somewhere she also gave a pause that, okay, let me not disturb her too much. So if you are also again ready, I am ready to take it forward. And it's thanks to her, her platform became the first go-getter to publish that story of mine. In fact, the first time I penned down my story, it was 8 pages. And because that was the first time I think I was pouring it out on the heart. And thanks to you, remember, you taught me to write everything. And I was pouring it on the laptop and went 8 pages of Word doc. I was surprising myself that I poured my heart out on it. I sent it to her. I did mention to her. I said, this is way too long. People don't have that attention span these days. Why we have reels instead of long videos? Because attention span is only 15 seconds to 30 seconds these days. So I don't know whether you will publish this or not, but please go through it. She went through it. She was overwhelmed with emotions. She had her heart and eyes swell with tears and stuff like that. But she said, try to truncate it. And then we'll see. I could bring it down to 3.5 pages by truncating it. And then I said, below this, I think I don't know whether I'll do justice to the story or not. And then she said, let's publish it. And as you also very well said, people who want to hear will hear. So similarly, she said, people who want to read will read till the last full stop. Otherwise, they will not. And Rashmi, it was overwhelming stuff for me. First of all, when she published it, I still remember on 19th of February 2019, she published the story. And there were like sea of responses what I got on the platforms she has published, including my WhatsApp, bringing from unknown people from unknown quarters whom I am not in touch with from many years. There were people whom I have been interacting on a regular basis, but they never knew. I thought they knew it. Like usually the grapevine and years to years, things travel, right? But there were people who told me, we never knew you have struggled with something like this. And there were pours of words of encouragement and all kind of, nowhere somebody has sympathized with me. That was a good part. But I think I felt that that was the best thing what I did. And after that, it was history. I just, many people read it through. I got a chance on Biocon, with Biocon. There, a feature film was done. Then with Karnataka Cancer Network Society, there, they have called me as a speaker. Post that, I was featured on Times of India as when I was with Cisco. They gave me an opportunity to be featured with Times of India. So, and many hospitals called me to share the story. A couple of people did the podcast on this. So I think I have never felt that, oh, why I'm repeating it again and again? Because as I told you, you are asking a different set of questions altogether. So everybody and every time a different set of audience is watching it. Now it's your network who will do it. So somewhere the things are getting multiplied. And everyone will have their own set of takeaway. Whatever I want to give as a takeaway, not necessarily people will take that, right? So let's not stop this. Wherever you can and to how many ears and eyes you can make it reach, just do that. And you never know, at that point in time, any quote of mine or any point of encouragement become that encouragement point for that particular person. And I think there my job is done. Even for fraction of second or for that day, if somebody's day is made, I think my purpose to do this thing over and over again is achieved.
True. And I think the more the awareness is spread, the more women bring these conversations out in the open.
Yes.
And it's so important for us.
It is very important. Especially we women fear of doing mammogram. Because one is it's painful. Second is what if? Like what if the fear of result stop us to take the action.
True. Very.
That is something which should be eliminated.
Yeah.
Ideally. I mean, I think as a breast cancer awareness month, it should also be written somewhere that the men in the family or the men in the ecosystem, doesn't matter, it has to be in the family also. Every man should take at least two women for mammogram in this month of October. By that, at least you will reduce the chances of getting cancer being diagnosed late.
Yeah, that is true. And you said you had an overwhelming response. A lot of people are calling you to speak. A lot of people got in touch with you who you didn't even know. Is there any particular story that is close to your heart, Hina? Maybe you don't mention their name, but sharing your story made a difference to their life.
Oh, yeah, there are many, Rashmi. It's like many people who have who are going through this, and when they heard about it, they have pinged me that you have really put up, because I just didn't share my story. As I told you, the third step, that post-cancer dealing with people and their expectation and the way the responses came, that was more difficult. So I shared the lessons learned also as a part of my story. And that was something which hooked the people more. So there were many people who felt that, yes, I have read your story multiple times too. There were people who read it multiple times. I mean, going through a blog of 3.5 pages multiple times, at least 2 or 3 times itself is a big thing. So that was encouraging enough for me also. So yes, there were many people who have felt that, yes, when she can do it, why can't I? And they have strived on that journey.
Awesome.
And there are many people who just came for the temporary phase, you know, just read my story. I was with their journey in that cancer phase. And now we are not in touch. But at least I'm thankful that, yes, I could make a difference in those 9 to 10 months whenever the treatment was on. But see, once I get associated with a patient, I make sure that every once in a week, or though I tell them that when you're going through this phase, no, it becomes difficult to talk to your own family. Not that you don't want to talk to them, but both the parties, the patient plus the caretakers, including the friends and the families, go silent. The caretakers don't know what to say, what is right and what is not right. Okay, what will irritate them, what will fume them, and suddenly. And they also have their pain. I mean, especially a parent seeing their child going through something so drastically changing, a sibling seeing their sibling going through something, a friend seeing, watching their friends like who were doing all the activities and suddenly they are just in the cocoon of their bed and working and all like that. So it is difficult for them to also express. Everybody needs a different person to talk to who will not judge them. Plus, they can just lighten their heart and all. And so is with patient. I would not like to really cry in front of my mother if I'm going through the pain, because that will make the pain of a mother more aggravated. So I always tell the patient whom I'm connected with that even if you want to just pour out something, no, and you feel that it's not even on a call, feel free to write a WhatsApp message to me without even the expectation of me responding to it. Even if it's at 2 o'clock in the night, because most of the time cancer patients don't get sleep in the night. At least I face those issues. You get all the possible thoughts in the night. So feel free to write as many as WhatsApp messages might be what I feel right. I'll respond to it whenever I see them, or at least you will pour your heart out. Somewhere you will drain it out, right? That is very important. It is important to empty your suffocation somewhere and feel light. Then only the fresh air will come in.
That is very, very true.
Yeah. So I always tell those folks, and many of them follow it. Somebody, if they don't do it, then I do a practice that at least once in a week, I ping them. How are you doing? Is everything okay? Is there something I can help you with? Then stuff like that. So that part I do.
Okay. You said 2019 you came out. 2020, the pandemic hit India.
Yes.
What India, the world itself. And the world became a global village. Everyone moved virtual.
Yes.
So it was a bigger platform for awareness creation for you. Did it move to a wider audience now? Because everything, every session moved virtually. And at that point, what happened to your campaign and awareness talks that were there in 2019? How did it spread in 2020 and then on?
Actually, 2020 became a bigger way, as you very rightly said. I have multiplied the places where I wanted to talk about the awareness and more in 2020, because I didn't have to travel and everything is happening virtual. There were many organizations who were trying to get in touch and all. So multiple podcasts or the speaker series which came out. Moreover, world was living inside the home for the first time. But I think it was a return for me, like coming back to the square. 2010, exactly, I lived the same way how I lived in 2020. Only thing is, by God's grace, this time it was without cancer. And it was not new for me, like living at home and working. The good part is, during cancer for those 9 months, I never stopped working. I only took 10 days leave during my surgery. Otherwise, even during on the days of my chemo, I used to work from hospital. So I used to just shut down the system when that chemo medicines used to start acting up on the nervous system, that now I'm not able to focus. So shut it down. And most all my chemos used to happen on a Friday, which is a little lighter day in terms of your deliverables and stuff like that. So I have taken only 10 days leave post-surgery, because that was a do-or-die phase. But 2020, yes, the things amplified. My Biocon happened during that time. I got associated with multiple platforms who were supporting cancer patients at that time. Even this Cancer Network Society did something virtually for some college students. So that I got associated with. So overall, yes. That was a phase where not only within India, but globally, as you very well said, I could get a chance to let people know that this unfortunate sea is irrespective of the boundaries of a nation, irrespective of caste, creed, color, race of people. It just hits without even telling you, quietly come in and sit in your body.
All that you can do is face it when it
yes.
is.
Yes. And I think, as far as my experience goes, Rashmi, people only who can face it, no, gets it. Like, either they have a lot of resilience in them, or they discover their resilience after they get it. At least I discovered it that way. I never knew that I have been so strong. And then the strong word became such a burden on my head that now people say, you're so strong, you're so strong. Oh my God, I also can become weak. Please allow me that.
So if there is one word that Hina would like to be described as by Hina, what would that word
be? I always say I am a phoenix. I like been turned into ashes and then still have soared back. So a resilient phoenix rather, I would say.
Okay. So to this resilient phoenix, my question, the last question, three life lessons that you'd like to leave us at the end of this beautiful conversation.
Number one, it's like, just make sure that whosoever you meet in life, not necessarily they would be there forever. Forever is a myth. Life has taught in a very hard way. And just leave them with those notes and memories that if they cannot come back, they should never forget you. They should always remember you with the right thing. Even if the disassociation has happened on a wrong note, but the memories with that association should be so beautiful that you're remembered for those, not for that last minute because of which the knot was tied and things were broken. So that is one thing, what is a life lesson I have learned. Next, I would say that, which I have learned after a long time, and I am always fine-tuning. And as I mentioned in the starting, you have played one instrumental role in that, on the tone and the modulation of the voice and stuff like that. It's like whenever somebody asks you something, just make sure to remember to answer it with utmost politeness and with the right tone. Make sure to put across your word. I'm such a person who just can't hide my emotions. If somebody can read me, they can read me on the face. At times, it just overpowers the tone, which, as I said, is a journey. I am just there, but at times the slip happens. We are all human beings. So make sure to answer it in the possible polite way with the right set of words. Put across your point. Don't shy away from putting across your perspective, because whenever that rewind of things or situation will happen in life, people will not remember the question, but they will remember your answer. So the answer should be well thought and put across. Take a pause, slow down, and then play your cards. Then the third most important life lesson is being gratitude of whatever life has given you. It's something what I've been practicing from COVID days especially. That's where my mindful journey and a lot of meditative journey, a lot of transformation COVID brought in my life in terms of professional, personal, career-wise and stuff like that. So it's very important to see what you have rather than focusing on and keep ribbing about that I don't have this. And at times it's normal. We are human beings. We tend to do, okay, this is not happening, that is not happening. But it's important to shift your mind at least two times in a day, as soon as you get up in the morning and before you sleep in the night, that be thankful of what you have in your life and be thankful to close your eyes in the night and open your eyes in the morning. I think these are the three things what I would like to give away.
Beautiful life lessons, Hina, and like always, a very beautiful conversation. You continue to smile is my prayer.
Thank you.
Good wishes to you, because I think people like you make us understand how precious our lives. The way you make it so very important for us, and you make sure, whatever you said as a life lesson, you make sure that when you leave the place or you say bye to the person always remembers you with a smile on their face.
Yes, I mean, that I definitely make sure, Rashmi. I tell to so many coaches of mine also that whether you will remember the lesson or not, whatever we have discussed, but you will not forget Hina Saini. So I make sure that aura is kept lingering in the heart and mind of people. That's more important. More than mind, the heart of people. That's important. You know, because that's what you just take away in life. And that's what, like, if you notice what I'm wearing is also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What does it mean? I design my life. And then what is below that? I design my life and write my own story. Okay. You truly have designed your life. Is this a made-to-order t-shirt?
Yeah. It is made-to-order t-shirt. You are just spot on.
And you've written your life.
I just didn't intentionally wear it today. It was just I'm traveling right now. There was very few choices what I had, and it so happened. And I just realized it before we start this podcast. I do. I designed my life. I said I have to highlight this to Rashmi for sure.
Okay, it was hidden all along, but now that you showed me. You have clearly written your own story the way you wanted to.
And I would like to add this point, if it makes a difference, since very pertinent to the subject what we have spoken about today, being that Breast Cancer Awareness Month, God forbid, whosoever have to walk on this path of breast cancer especially, I think it's a second chance given by God to design your own life. And fortunately, to see the positive side of breast cancer alone, I would not really take the cancer as a whole umbrella. Breast cancer only alone is a kind of diagnosis where one has a chance to come out of it. Unless you are in the last years of your life, because unfortunately, then you have multiple elements in the body, diabetes, BP, and other complications might arise. But if you are within your 50s, or even 60s. 60s is a new 30s these days. So it's like you still have that controllables for you to drive and a second stance to design your life and do what all you have not done. So I think it's for every woman that just stand up. It's unfortunate. Nothing can be done about it. But take the stride in your hand. Go through this wellness journey. I always say not the treatment. I have written it really clearly in my blog. It's a wellness journey. And come out of it and say, now I design my life.
And you truly are designing yours, Hina. Thank you so much for this conversation. Honored to have had you on You and I.
Thank you so much.
God bless you and continue inspiring. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Ashwin.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together. Both you and I.